through the wonderful eyes of the Lord Jesus, and he looks at his whole life. Loving, compassionate, forgiving, always looking through the blood, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for Charlie Osborne's sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. And on the third day, he arose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Our kingdom is coming to an end. His kingdom, there is no end. So our faith and our hope and our life must be committed to the Lord Jesus. It should not be strange to us. It should not be something that we couldn't discuss. It shouldn't be something that we would be ashamed of. It's something that we should be openly, willingly confessing to whomever, even to those that won't listen. I know when I first got started, Walt, we had a member of the diaconate, and I was labeled a real, you know what, you know, I was the guy that was turning everybody off. I mean, I was so excited about this newfound faith, and I was like a tornado. I mean, I was on the radio, I got a 30-minute radio program, ripped the prices off of my menu, started giving away food, took the whiskey license and turned it in, and opened up a bar, started taking in anybody that needed a place to stay. And I just fell in love with Jesus, and everybody thought, this guy's crazy. That's the reason that, you know, most of, you know, when I come home, there's not too many people let me come and talk. Because they all know me. They said, we know that guy. But I'll never forget the time that I was visited, my wife and I, by the director of the diaconate, and he informed me that he couldn't get anybody to join the diaconate simply because I was in it. Now, that's not a put down, and it's not to scandalize anybody, it's just what happened. And he said, Charlie, you're turning off the whole town. I mean, everybody's upset that you're in the diaconate. And I thought, boy, stick a knife in me, you know? I mean, fry me to the stake. Dude, don't just tell me that and walk off and leave me. I went home that afternoon sick. I was turning people off everywhere. I mean, I was sick, sick, sick. I got up the next morning, came over to the restaurant, and I was even sicker. I went right back home, went to bed. And that night, I came over to the restaurant, and Monsignor Amos would come in every night and sit and observe. And when I walked in, there was a little piece of paper laying on the counter. We'd given our cash register away because we weren't selling nothing. And there was a little piece of blue paper laying on the counter where the cash register used to be, and I just picked it up and stuck it in my pocket. And that's very strange that I'd even do that, because I just don't go around picking up things. And I went over and sat down with Monsignor Amos, and him and I, we just began to talk, you know. I was really down, and for some reason or other, I pulled this piece of paper out, and it said, Dear Charles, I've been meaning to tell you this. For those that are turned on, you can't turn off. And for those that are turned off have already turned away. You can't turn off is already off. And I jumped for joy, because there's no such thing as turning. Y'all believe y'all can turn me off? You can't turn whatever's on. You're not turning them off. And for those that are off, our job is to turn them on. You're going to have to be zealous to turn them on, and you're going to have to pay a price to turn them on. You're going to have to be convinced in what you're doing to turn them on. You're going to have to be zealous to turn them on. You're going to have to be committed to turn them on and completely dedicated to turn them on. Amen. When I read that little note, I just got a little stronger. I think I went on for a whole hour on radio, hollering, howling, moo. They said, you know, this. They said, I left the church. I said, how can you leave the church? I am the church. I can't, you know, I can't leave. Where am I going to go? But listen, when you begin to live your faith, when you begin to live this faith, people will put they love to label you, you know, put you in a specific category and label you crazy. And, you know, I said, Father Smith, I said, you know, people really think I'm crazy for what I've done. He said, Charlie, they already thought you were crazy, so there's no big deal. So, you know, it was, I just live an exciting life in Jesus. An exciting life in Him. And we're in desperate need of preachers. We got a whole bunch of Catholic preachers in here tonight. All the, we got Eddie and Tom and Steve and Johnny and Steve and John and Mary Rita, Catholic preachers. I mean, I'm talking about Catholic preachers. You ought to hear Johnny out on the golf course at Sandestin. Y'all want to get a sermon? Go out to tee off at number 2 every morning at about 7 o'clock, and Johnny will be there preaching at you. Where's Johnny at? Raise your hand. Oh, here he is. Ask Johnny, is he a Catholic preacher? Ray? Where's Ray at? Ray? He's a Catholic preacher. You see, listen, we're all preachers preaching about something, but the day we begin to preach about our faith, we begin to preach about what we believe. We begin to share with people. If we know that there's only one God and He's the Father, we shouldn't have any problem walking up to anybody and tell them, isn't God wonderful? Isn't He exciting? They'll say, oh, Jesus. But Johnny takes his little 4-iron and he goes right with them. You know, he's... The third day He arose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand. We believe all this. We ought to be the most powerful, the most excited, the most enthused people in the world. Folks, this is not private revelation. This is universal revelation. This is something that we believe that we should take forth to the whole world. And it's very ecumenical. Because listen to this, it says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Master of life. We believe that? Do we believe that the Holy Spirit is the Lord, the Master, the giver of life? Then life can come through no other source, can it? Your money can't bring life. Your nationality can't bring life. Doctors can't bring life. Metropolitan life is not life. Blue Cross and Blue Shield cannot bring life or extend life. The Holy Spirit is the giver of life. It's the giver of God, the inspiration, the zeal, the wisdom of God. That is life. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the master of life, the excitement of life, the teacher of life. And it says, who proceeds from the Father and the Son? With the Father and the Son, He, the Holy Spirit, is worshipped and glorified. Now, if you want a little excitement in your life, if you've tried Valiums and you've tried BCs and you've tried aspirin and you've tried Nicol and you've tried everything else in the book and nothing's worked, I promise you, if you will get out somewhere by yourself, roll the windows up in your car, and begin to worship and glorify the Holy Spirit, He will come and knock your socks off. I can just tell you that. I've experienced, y'all can tell I've experienced it, can't you? the Lord and the giver of life. He is worshipped and glorified as the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. Very seldom do I hear, we have no Venus to the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about worship, the worship of the Holy Spirit. To glorify Him. Oh, Holy Spirit, we glorify You. We worship You, oh, magnificent, glorious life of God, the inspiration of God. We praise You, we worship You, we glorify You, oh, Holy Spirit. Don't try that sometimes. Lock yourself up somewhere when you do it. Because, you know, it's just an excitement when He comes. Father Smith used to tell me they should lock them up for the first 6 months. Right, Walt? And they should have locked me up for the first 12 years. Probably should still have me locked up. I don't know. Holy Spirit, He is worshipped. With the Father and the Son, He is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. Now listen to this. The only way that you'll ever hear prophets and know that they're prophets speaking is that they're speaking the mind of God, the heart of God, the Word of God. A prophet will speak the words that Jesus Christ spoke. And he won't speak anything else. A prophet is not a fortune teller. A prophet is one that speaks the mind of God. Love your enemies. That's speaking the mind of God. Do good to those that hate you. That's speaking the mind of God. I would love to walk into a prayer meeting one day and one of the labeled prophets would stand up and begin to speak the mind of God. Do good to those that curse you. If they slap you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. That's the mind of God. That's the heart, the soul, the breath. That was the Word made flesh. That's God. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Have compassion and compassion will be shown to you. Show mercy and you will have mercy. That's the mind of God. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's the prophetic word that we should speak today. And if I had time in these presentations, I'd go right into the document on evangelization by Pope Paul VI, and we'd really get into that. We get into it in the school. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Somebody say with me, who is the church? I'll say it again. All right, now, for you that are saying we, you very well be sitting next to a person that doesn't want to be included. You can never speak for the person next to you. You can only speak for yourself. So when we say church, we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church that is individual, yet it's also mystical and all-encompassing. But I'm the only one that can be a church for me. I can't build somebody else's church. I have to let the Holy Spirit build my church. And my church loves you and will serve you and will help you and encourage you and edify you and strengthen you. That's what my church does. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, temples of God. Amen. So now, when we say church, who is a church? I am. And together, the whole world belongs to the church. Not all of them are the church. The whole world belongs to the church. Because every person on this earth has been given life for God. They may reject Him, but that does not exclude them from belonging to Him. And they will be judged according to the way they judge. Every living person on this earth is encompassed in the net of the gospel, like it or not. It says there's good fish in there and there's bad fish. The good fish are to make the bad fish good fish. Amen. For we're all in the net. But individually, I'm a church. You are a church together, bonded together in love. That's every supporting ligament joining together in the wisdom of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, we serve in one mind, one heart, and one spirit, a body, Jesus being the head. So now, when we say we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, how many of you here are holy? Raise your hand. Well, we've got a problem. Well, now you can't... This little sister up here's got it. But there's a whole bunch of you didn't raise your hand. Now listen, I want y'all to listen to what the church is now. The church is holy, it is Catholic, and it is apostolic. That's the church. You cannot have a church that is not holy, that isn't Catholic, and it's not apostolic. You just can't have a church. That is the church. Each one of us is holy, we are Catholic, and we're apostolic. Now, if you'll notice here, the word Catholic is with a small c, meaning universal, all-encompassing. Everybody, I am absolutely convinced that my bishop of this diocese is the bishop of every single person that lives in his boundaries, whether they like it or not. And I am committed as an evangelist to my bishop is to go bring every member that I can into this community. If I believe that Jesus is God. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I am supposed to get every walking Tom in this diocese into what I believe. If I believe it. If I believe that Jesus is God and I'm not out trying to get people to believe that, bishops tell me that I'm not only useless to myself, but I'm useless to the whole body. I have no real function. If I'm just eating to live and living to eat, that's all passing away. My job while I'm eating here is to be preaching and proclaiming my faith. That faith is holy, it is Catholic, universal, and apostolic. How many of you in here are working to become holy? Raise your hand. You're working to become holy. All right. Some of you that raise your hand, tell me when you're going to get it. Now, we really need to know, because that's the day you become the church. Let's do this. Somebody tell me what the word holy means. Okay. Steve says set apart. What about you, brother?
Set apart.
How about you? Why not? God's present in us. How about you, little sister? What does the word holy mean?
Complete.
Are you Catholic? Okay, well then, this is very important. And see, folks, the only reason I do this is to try to make you aware of some of the error, it's not really error, it's our ignorance of what we believe. We've got... Well, it sure leaves real good. Boy, it just left you out, didn't it? And you see, listen to the problem with that, because if she's left out, then she's not going to be able to go get anybody. How is she going to be proclaiming her faith unless she knows who she is? If she's still working to get it, she's not a witness yet. Just for time's sake, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the word holy means set apart. We're a different breed of people. We're a peculiar race, a peculiar people. We believe in forgiveness and we love one another. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe that there's only one God. We believe this God is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes us holy. If you could work to become holy, Jesus could have stayed in heaven and saved himself a lot of problems. He came down here to show us what holiness was, and he chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose me. Glory to God. That's what makes this thing so good, is he chose me. I just stumbled into it one day. The dummies always get it first. Didn't Jesus say he would use the dumb things to confound the wise? Well, you're looking at one. A dummy. I love it. Holy. What does it mean? Who set us apart? He sure did. He set us apart. We're a holy people. See, now, you know that you've been set apart. You can go get somebody else to fellowship with you in this marvelous gift of church, because you're a holy woman. We can talk. Listen, we let them do whatever they want to us after we check out of here. I'm not concerned about what the world will do with my name after I leave. I know what my reward is. At least they say I'm going to receive some kind of a crown. I don't know what the crown is. I know it's not physical, because I'm going to be spiritual, in the spirit. So here on this earth, I am holy because God chose me. You know, that's really hard for Catholics to get a hold of, because it's like he says, it means that I'm really, 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 really good, and I ain't quite got there yet. And I tell you what, you'll never get there. He is the one that abolished my sin. He's the one that redeemed me. He's the one that paid the price. Isn't that white wall? Amen. So I accept him and his marvelous gifts of holiness. Can you imagine us calling the Pope the Holy Father, the head, the visible sign of Christ on this earth, and him being the head of a church that's not holy? He'd be the only one. We don't make reference to anybody else in the church as holy but him. And we should make reference to every one of us as a holy people. Amen. You are a holy people set apart. And he's the one that sets you apart. God, Jesus, sets you apart and chose you. A holy nation, a royal priesthood. What does the word apostolic indicate? We are an apostolic church. What does that mean? What does that mean? There's a church right down the street that says that on the outside, Apostles of Christ. Okay. In other words, you would say that an apostle is a preacher.
No.
The apostolic church is a preaching church. So you're a church. So you're a preaching church.
I preach
at the church. Great. Johnny preaches on the golf course. And that's where we need to preach. You know, we think we've got to get in that pulpit up there to preach. Folks, we preach in the beauty parlors. We preach in the daycare centers. We preach in the supermarkets. We preach at the gas stations. We preach in the byways and the hedges and into the alleyways of the world. Amen. We should be like little ants all over the place, preaching, proclaiming. This brother here preaches in prison. And they pay him for it. Mary Rita and her husband, they preach all over Sandestin. You ought to see that little lady. I said out the other morning in her jogging suit. I said, "Hi, Sister Mary Rita." She says, I said, "What you doing there?" She said, "I'm getting this old physical thing in shape, praying the rosary so I can preach." Isn't that strange for Catholics to be doing that? And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to walk into this place on Sunday morning. This place ought to be exploding with excitement. Excitement. Listen, We've been out all week working, introducing people to Jesus, encouraging people in their faith, helping people, strengthening them, and then we come one day out of a week to celebrate, receive the body and the blood, the great sacrifice. The Jubilee, Thanksgiving. You know, we come to church, oh, geez, another Sunday. Oh, God, you know, I just make it through the day. Gotta hurry up, Father, the football game's on. The apostolic church, listen to what our Pope and our bishops, the magisterium of our churches, is called to do. They're called to pass down to us the charisms, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of preaching with wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All of these marvelous charisms, that's the apostolic activity, the apostolic church. And most of us have refused to get into these gifts. Most of the Catholics that I talk, oh, I don't want them, you know. I said, well, you're apostolic church. Let me read this to you the way we... What was your name again, brother?
Gary McBride.
Gary McBride. I'm going to read this again, Gary. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic Gary McBride. That's what you are. Gary McBride. What's your name? Julie. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic Judy. What's your name? Another Judy. Let's look at, they look alike, but they're different. Different fingerprints. Totally unique. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic Judy. See, listen, when we really put ourselves, aren't we temples of the Holy Spirit? You know, that's a church. See, this is what unites me to the vicar, to the Pope. This is what unites me to him. He's holy and I'm holy. I can't do his job and he can't do my job. But working together with his tremendous insights on Scripture, his tremendous ability to teach me and to encourage me in my apostolic activity. You see, then we're working together. We're committed together. I support him, he supports me. I edify him, he edifies me. We edify one another. Amen. We ought to be an exciting folks. And if there's some of you sitting here that's never got into this, don't let the night pass you by. Make a commitment. Boy, I want that. I want to get in on that. I want to be a part of that. This is life. Anything else that you're into is temporary. No life to it. Your faith is life. It's excitement. I couldn't wait to get over here today. I told my wife, I said, 3:00, we just get ready. I've got to hurry up and get over. I said, we're a whole hour early. Couldn't wait. I've been to 1,900 parishes in the last 11 years. 1,900. You know, I can't wait for the next one. Next week I'll be in Michigan, Flint, Michigan. I fly from Flint, Michigan down to Dubuque, Iowa. From Dubuque, Iowa, I go to Orlando, Florida. From Orlando, I go to Fort Lauderdale. From Fort Lauderdale, where? San Diego. You see, we ought to keep the air on and humming. If we believe this. I hope somebody can't sleep tonight. Wouldn't it be something? You know, we're all missionaries. We're missionaries to one another. Missionaries carrying the message of Jesus to one another. And then it says, we believe in We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And everybody said,
amen.
All right. I've got a 6-hour videotape on this. And I think, Steve, you got a copy, don't you? Do you have a copy too, Eddie? If any of you want a copy of this video on the creed, see the Malagesti brothers. They'll give them to you. My equipment right now is down. I'd tell you to get in touch with our office, but we just transferred all of our equipment down to Fort Lauderdale because we're going to start doing a television program called the Catholic Television Hour. When we can get enough Catholics to support it. Father Robert Castellanos and Charlie Osborne and David Stewart and Robert Tolomeo, the Malagesti brothers, if you are a Catholic layman, we're going to make an opportunity for you to preach a little bit on television, national television. I think we ought to own all the television stations, as many Catholics. There's 60 million Catholics in this country. We don't have anybody on television. And I'm convinced it's because we really aren't overwhelmingly impressed with what we believe. We're kind of afraid of it. And the world's waiting on us to come and tell them what we believe. Now, I want you to take the decree on the lay apostolate. I want you to open it up to the first page. I'm sorry. Page 2, where it says introduction. This is 2,500 bishops that gathered in Rome, and they gathered there for the purpose of telling Judy. Look at all three of them. Look at me. See, I got... for telling Judy who you are and what your mission is. Now we know what we believe. We've got our faith behind us. Now we have to understand who we are by the order of the bishop so that we can move out and do the work that God's called us to do. And it starts out by saying this, in its desire to intensify the apostolic activity of the people of God. What word in there have we just got through picking at? The apostolic activity. We now know, and it later defines in this same document, if you'll turn to page, I'll just give you a... Let me see if I can find it right quick. Turn to page 7. If you got a pencil, mark this. I'm not going to have time to read all this tonight. But if you have a pencil, underline the top of page 7 where it says, the Holy Spirit sanctifies the people of God. If you'll go down through that, you'll see these marvelous apostolic activities and what they're used for. But it says, in its desire to intensify the apostolic activities of the people of God, the council now earnestly turns its thoughts to the Christian laity. Notice here that they encompass all people that believe in the Lord Jesus. Not just a particular group, but everybody. Mention has already been made in other documents of the laity's special and indispensable role in the mission of the church. I'm going to tell you, Judy, that the church can't do without you, that you are a key, vital link in the church, and nobody, Judy, will ever be able to do your job. You're it. You joined with this Judy and this Judy. What's your name, brother? Sorry about that. But you see, that's quick. But you'll make a good evangelist, I'll tell you. You're quick on your feet. Now, where was I before I was so rudely interrupted? But you see, Judy, it's just, nobody will be able to do your job. Each one of us, you play a critical role. That's the reason God put us here. Each one of us has a wonderful job of evangelization. And it says, an indispensable role in the mission of the church. Indeed, the church can never be without the lay apostolate. It is something that derives from the layman's very vocation as a Christian. And then what we did, we got permission to take all of the scripture readings or the references that the bishops made to scripture, and we printed all those scriptures in so that you can have a full view of what you're supposed to be doing. And look over to page 3 in the middle of the page where it says, after you read this, you're going to find out that they even risked their lives for the gospel. It said, no less fervor of zeal on the part of the lay people is called for today. Present circumstances, in fact, demands on them an apostolate infinitely broader and more intense. Can you imagine being more intense than Paul? That's what we're called. We're called. Listen, if Paul was living today, he would have a jet strapped to both legs. And we're sitting around, I wonder what I... If God would just speak to me, you know, maybe I could get something done. But we've got our faith. We've been challenged. And we're supposed to be doers of the word. Let's turn over to page 6. I'm sorry. Page 6. Top of the page. Foundation of the lay apostolate. Duty. From the fact of your union with Christ the head flows the right, the layman's right, duty's right, and duty to be apostle. Every one of you in here are apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may not have been operating in your apostolate, but there's no better time than today. And now we know what we believe to where we can take this to the world. As an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm to go and preach Him, proclaim Him. I don't proclaim Charlie Osmond. My ministry is under the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says this, inserted duty as they are into the mystical body by baptism, strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, it is the Lord Himself duty that they are assigned to this apostolate. Each one of you has been designated, assigned, chosen, placed here on this earth by God for His purpose. You didn't choose it. Each one of you has been chosen. Isn't that wonderful? And the bishops recognize that in each one of us. I pray the day that we take this document in 21,000 parishes in the United States and teach the people, first of all in this country, who we are, so we can begin to go forth as apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Churches filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, proclaiming the good news of God. If duty is consecrated, a kingly priesthood. You just got promoted, sweetheart. If duty is consecrated, a kingly priesthood and a holy nation, it is in order that she may, in all of her actions, offer spiritual sacrifice and bear witness to Jesus Christ all over the world. Is that heavy stuff? And we're sitting back, I wonder what God wants me to do. Well, He told us. Our problem is making a decision to do it. And it's not an easy decision because you'll have to deny yourself. You'll have to deny yourself. And that's not easy. You see, our comfort zone will have to be messed with. You just have to mess with your comfort zone. We don't like to mess around with comfort zones. And if you're going to live the life that God's called us to live, we're pilgrims. We are a pilgrim people passing through this life. Amen? All right. Now, let me find some other interesting places. Turn to page, let's just go to the last page. And we'll conclude with this. The exhortation. This right here summarizes everything that you've heard tonight. The council. Who are the council? 2,500 bishops. The council then makes to all the laity duty and earnest appeal in the Lord to give a willing, noble, and enthusiastic response to the voice of Christ. Who at this hour is summoning them duty more pressingly and to the urging of the Holy Spirit? The younger generation should feel this call to be addressed in a special way to themselves. They should welcome it eagerly and generously. It is the Lord Himself by this council. Isn't that big news? The bishops are saying that Almighty God Himself is speaking through us to you. And that's their job. That's what they're bishops for. They are to encourage us and strengthen us, the magisterium, to teach us, to write us documents of encouragement, documents of instruction. It is the Lord Himself by this council who is once more inviting all the duties to unite themselves to Him even more intimately, to consider, here it is, bottom line, to consider His interest as our own. In other words, it's no longer my interest, no longer my desires, it's no longer my life. I didn't have anything to do with it. It's His interest, and in His life, if He is true man and true God, then for me to be a true man, I must imitate Him. I am to consider His interest as my own. And the bishops give us a scripture there, and it says, your attitude must be that of Christ. Can we all say that? My attitude must be that of Christ. Let's say it again. Did Jesus Christ love me? Then every one of you has got to love me, whether you like it or not. I like that part. Everyone. Isn't that good? Some of you have already had some pretty juicy thoughts about me already, I can tell. But let me tell you something. The only thing that you can think about me is the thing wrong with you. So if you've been thinking good thoughts about me, you got good things with you. Amen? We can only think our mind. So if you've had bad thoughts about me, shame, shame, shame. All right, it says, your attitude must be that of Christ. What's His attitude toward me? It's overwhelming. I mean, when you get into that, I mean, it's just a mind blower. God died for me. God forgave me my sins. God paid a price for this sorry, no good, rotten, lying, dirty, rotten, cheating, murderous. You know what? Jesus paid a price for me. Praise be to God forever and ever. Praise be to His wonderful holy name. Praise be to you, the church of Niceville. Praise be to you, chosen instruments of the Most High God. You holy Catholic and apostolic people. A church full of the Spirit, excited about God. A church full of the Spirit, united together in faith, loving one another. Praise be to God for the marvelous Church of Niceville. So I just want to thank God to you, Father, for allowing me the privilege to come And thank y'all for allowing me to share. Thank you and good night. God bless.